Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And we're looking into the future again.
That's weird. It's like we're letting our futurist flag fly again.
Yeah. Well, we have to. I mean, that we're talking about going to the edge of what's possible, and the edge of what's possible generally lines up with the edge of what has happened and what's going to happen in the future.
So I have a question for you.
Yes.
Are you ready for the neo-evolution?
I don't know. That's a really intimidating question.
Yeah, especially when I say it like that, huh?
I would probably yell yay if it was like a, you know, like a DJ yelling it, because it sounds like the kind of thing you would hear like,
are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you ready for the neo-evolution? And then everybody goes, yeah.
But or they don't the Beatles. Really,
yeah, or the Beatles. Yeah.
Are you ready for a neo-evolution?
Yeah.
All right. So obviously we're going to be talking about evolution today, specifically neo-evolution as defined by one guy. But before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about what is evolution.
Yeah, let's go ahead and hammer this out. And I'm drawing from HowStuffWorks' own article, How Evolution Works, which is a great read, especially if you don't understand evolution or if you find yourself in the familiar situation of thinking you understand something that is so talked about, but you're not really sure on the finer points of it. It lays it out really nicely, like most HowStuffWorks articles. Handle a topic.
Indeed.
But basically it breaks down to three essential parts. First part is that it's possible for the DNA of an organism to occasionally change or mutate. And a mutation changes the DNA of an organism in a way that affects its offspring either immediately or several generations down the line.
So that's the first condition.
Right. The second one, the change brought about by a mutation is either beneficial, harmful, or neutral. I think I've hammered on this before, but the word devolve,
mm-hmm.
like the idea that, in a post-apocalyptic movie, people devolved into monsters and chuds.
They did not go backward.
Right. Evolution doesn't go backwards. Evolution always goes forward. It's possible.
There's very, very rare cases. Very, very rare.
Evolution doesn't really go backwards. It's like it's altering, but it's moving forward. Like it's.
Well, for adaptation is what I'm talking
about.
Yeah.
It's moving forward and adapting.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, it can be beneficial. It can be harmful. It can be neutral. It's still evolution. If the change is harmful, then it's unlikely that the offspring will survive to reproduce. so the mutation dies and goes nowhere. If the change is beneficial, then it's likely that the offspring will do better than the offspring, than the other offspring, and it'll reproduce more. And through reproduction, the beneficial mutation spreads and eventually becomes dominant, and the bad mutations disappear. All right, and the third thing is as mutations occur and spread over long periods of time, they cause new species to form. So over the course of, you know, millions of years, the process of mutation and natural selection, which we covered in the first two points, have created every single species that we have in the world today. Mm-hmm. From the simplest bacteria to, you know, elephants and dogs and cats and reptiles and, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what we're talking about is variation, selection, and heredity, right?
Yes.
And you think about it, even with us, there are about 25 species of hominids that came before us, right?
Right.
And we just happen to have the ability to adapt to our environment, and we have done so pretty successfully. But there is a medical ethicist named Harvey Fineberg. He has a talk on TED.com, and it's called Are We Ready for a Neoevolution? And he has talked about this specific conditions for us evolving as humans, not necessarily talking about other animals or bacteria or anything else. And he wants to talk really about what our future might hold in terms of evolution. He says that there are three different ways we could go.
Yeah, because it basically comes down to these three key facts of evolution that we discussed, whether or not they're still relevant in modern human culture,
mm-hmm.
or if we've managed to sort of elbow them out of the conversation.
Right.
Yeah. So, like one basic idea is if we have through medicine managed to preserve a lot of genes that would otherwise be selected out. In other words, harmful mutations.
Right.
Or just traits that we would eventually improve upon and would be, again, elbowed out of the evolutionary conversation.
Yeah, he's talking about the possibility that we might not evolve anymore, right? Because,
right.
as you say, we've sort of tinkered enough that we're sort of flatlining as a species, right?
Right.
And then he's also talking about how we have made our environment adapt to us rather than us adapt to it.
Right. It's the idea that it's like, oh, the world's getting hotter. Let's create air conditioning, or let's,
right.
you know, we even in our more drastic, hilarious and tragic examples where we talk about geoengineering or planet hacking, things like tinkering with the atmosphere to reverse global climate changes.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah.
Like even with China in the Olympics, right? When
right.
they were trying to change the weather by shooting, wasn't missiles, but it was some sort of munition up into the air mm-hmm. that would make it rain. So yes, we're manipulating our environment all the time.
Right.
Right. And then he also says that we're so interspersed that there's very little isolation in populations now mm-hmm. that would allow for the conditions of evolution.
It's kind of like a Richie Rich scenario or something, like the kid who has everything and doesn't have to grow up. I may be confusing my cartoons.
Doesn't have to evolve and grow up. Arrested Development is sort of...
Yeah, I guess. You know, it's... It's the idea that, no, we don't have to adapt to the world around us because the world around us doesn't touch us. We're insulated in this bubble.
We're Richie Rich.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter. You know, it's like, I'm not that smart, but I got all this money, right? So, I'm good to go.
Right. And then the second thing that he talks about, the second route we could take is just the traditional evolution. In other words, evolution is a juggernaut. You cannot stop it. In some way or another, it's going to continue. And he says, particularly if we colonize planets.
Right. Yeah, we're sending people to other planets. And, of course, we could really go off on a tangent here, but instead we'll just say, see the episode titled The Werewolf Principle that we did about adapting humans for space. Because, yeah, there's this whole idea of, as we send people out to colonize distant worlds, we certainly have the sci-fi storybook idea of terraforming a planet to make it just like Earth, which is again, ties back into that whole, let's change an environment to fit us.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, there's going to be at least a little us changing to fit that environment, whether we want it to happen or not.
Right. And he's saying, like, you know, obviously, if we tried to colonize Mars, for example, which, you know, this is what we've been preoccupied with a lot in terms of, you know, science, technology. You know, those are the conditions. You've got the isolation. You have this environment that is new to us. So,
right.
you know, you'd have to evolve in some way.
Like, and at the very basic level, if there were minimum physical requirements to colonize another planet, you're automatically selecting for those minimum requirements.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
So,
absolutely. Right. Yeah. And then the big one, which is obviously the one that he's very interested in talking about, is called neoevolution.
Yes. Which we are going to get to right after this quick break.
This presentation is brought to you by Intel, sponsors of tomorrow.
All right, we're back, and we're ready for the Neo Evolution.
Okay, we are now finally ready.
Let the Neo Evolution begin.
All right, what is he talking about, this guy, this Harvey Fineberg? He is talking about Neo Evolution as being guided and chosen by us. So what he's saying is that we are at a point technologically where we can begin to tinker with our own genes and select for ourselves. So we no longer need this randomness. We can sit there and say, okay, self-directed evolution, let's do this. And he's even saying you can see this in very basic ways where people are choosing to have more females than males.
Right.
Right. Because we know we can do this. We can choose the gender of a child. And he's saying, like, let's look at this in a more specific way. Let's look at genetic changes. Let's talk about taking out diseases like diabetes and cancer in your genes so that your children's genes could be, a little bit more fit for their environment.
Mm-hmm.
They would be healthier. And then he's talking about something called the $1,000 human genome, which I think is really an interesting concept. We all know about the Human Genome Project. This was a 12-year project, $2.7 billion, and they were able to decode the human genome.
Oh, wow.
And it's had huge implications all over the place. But he's saying that today, you can have a complete sequence of the 3 billion base pairs of the human genome for just $20,000 in 1 week. I mean, you're talking about the comparison there. And this is what we're seeing here is that technology, just like your TV, right, becomes cheaper over the years. So what he's saying basically is in no time at all, the cost will be down to $1,000. You can sequence your own human genome. And then after that, pretty much becomes available to anyone. So I can go and sequence my human genome and see what might be in my children's future. Or what I might even be susceptible to and start to tinker with that now and start to treat that those diseases now, which is really interesting. So this is what he's talking about in terms of neo-evolution, is that we are genetically driving the ship here rather than nature.
Right. We are taking the steering wheel away from natural selection and all these other properties, not to personify evolution, which I've done in the past a little bit, just sort of in the name of storytelling.
Well, you know, metaphors help us understand, right? So at least it does for me. So he's saying that technology can make this happen. He's talking about Drs. Francis Arnold and Willem Stemmer and the fact that they have been able to create desirable properties in proteins and cells. And this, again, is this directed evolution in which they synthetically harness the power of natural selection to evolve proteins or RNA to, again, create desirable properties not found in nature. And then he points to another person named Shinya Yamanaka, who in 2007 discovered how to tinker with human skin cells so that they behave like embryonic stem cells. This is huge. Because that could potentially morph into things like a heart and nerve cells. You could repair yourself on a number of levels just with these human cells.
And this again instantly flows into a number of ideas we've discussed before, such as the idea of defeating death or at least putting it off for 9 centuries.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, in the podcast 999, Birthday Candles, we talk about this guy named Aubrey de Grey, who is a biogerontologist.
Mm-hmm.
And in a very similar way, he's saying that it's very possible for us to extend our lives. It's very possible for a 50-year-old man now to be able to extend his life significantly, maybe even 500 years, if we are able to use these therapies that are available to us.
Right.
So Aubrey de Grey, Harvey Fineberg, they're talking the same thing, really, but just different ways. Harvey Fineberg is just bringing a bigger question into the picture, which is evolution, which is, you know, are we going to get to the point where we can so well manipulate our environment and ourselves that it becomes, we become the evolution, but we become the catalyst for it, which is an interesting question.
It is. And also just like, what is the end picture? Because when I think of us changing ourselves to meet our own ends, I instantly think of like people who've had tremendous amounts of plastic surgery, you know, and granted, hopefully you would have more of an ethical guidance system when it comes to choosing our genetic destinies and the genetic destiny of the species.
Well, what you're talking about here is like a utopian version or a dystopian version, right?
Yeah, I mean, just a really mismanaged version where, you know, where people make sort of, you know, surface level choices that have severe ramifications?
Well, I mean, the question is for me, I thought, well, okay, you can probably steer the ship, so to speak, for a certain amount of time, but evolution, particularly in bacteria, viruses, those are going to continue to mutate.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I think, at least. But then I saw that there's an article that was talking about Professor Floyd Romsberg, and he looked at superbugs resistance to antibiotics like E. coli,
mm-hmm.
and he actually found that you can stop evolution in certain strains, which is really interesting. In order to evolve, organisms have to mutate, right? So they turn on the mutation process when they're threatened with extinction. We see this. This is why cancer cells are so aggressive sometimes, right?
Right.
Because they're turning on this sort of ancient, pattern and trying to vanquish the disease. They're actually ending up splitting more and more cells. So Romsberg reasoned that since mutations can be turned on full force, perhaps they could be shut off as well. In doing so, he says, would put a halt to evolution. Well, an interesting prospect, because the mutations responsible for evolution are the underlying causes of cancer and aging. So he says evolution is not an unstoppable force. There is a biochemistry underlying it, and it is subject to intervention.
Hmm.
So, I mean, the question is, could we be all over evolution all the time in order to control every single variation, instance out there? So I don't think that you could, as a species, control evolution. This is my take on it.
Yeah, I mean, it just also sounds like anytime we talk about controlling evolution, I mean, we're still talking about either keeping things as they are,
mm-hmm.
or we're basically tweaking things as they are to become an idealized version of what they are, like a best case scenario for the species as it is today, instead of allowing the continued evolution of the species.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, you know, that I don't think we should necessarily look at ourselves as a finished species.
Well, I don't think that Harvey Fineberg, the guy who's talking about neoevolution, is really talking about us as a finished species. In fact, what he's saying is that, I mean, his real argument is that you could take this 100,000 year process of evolution, mm-hmm. that you see in humans and boil it down to 100 years. And so you begin to select for traits, like you could have the fast twitch muscle if you wanted to in your child, which would allow you to run faster and longer. That there are certain things that we can tinker with, but the problem for me becomes the question of, like, are we talking about transhumanism or are we talking about eugenics?
Yeah.
It can get a little dark.
Indeed. And I mean, also, it's like, I think of things like what if the next phase of actual evolution would be that consciousness, the illusion of consciousness fades away. Then what are we doing by preventing that? Maybe that we would be better off if that was allowed to take place.
But of course, we've talked about, I mean, if you're saying the illusion of consciousness is what has driven us quite a bit as a species, right? Because we always need a story. And there's the mystery, right?
Right. So yeah, so maybe it's preventing us from just turning into smoke.
Yes.
Yeah. On a semantic level anyway. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the utopian and dystopian ideas pretty much speak for themselves. Like the idea of us becoming, twisted monsters, or are we becoming this perfect, race of idealized 21st century humans?
Right. Well, we become just taller and nicer.
Yeah,
it's a possibility.
I instantly think to the works of both Richard K. Morgan and Ian M. Banks. They both have sci-fi stories in which they have individuals who, through science, virtually don't have to worry about disease anymore. But they get bored. So it's like among this sort of risk-taking set, they'll intentionally get the flu just so they can experience it, almost like it were a recreational drug. Well, exactly.
Wow.
Like an recreational drug. It's kind of like the last high left to him is to, well, I'm going to contract this flu and see what it's like.
Flu for fun. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is the idea that humans need, you know.
We need strife.
We need strife to feel compassion and to make us, you know, do the things that make us great.
And I'm pretty sure that viruses are always going to be there to help us with that.
The viruses are not going to stop evolving.
No.
So. There's that factor to consider as well.
That's right. Well, there you go. We've got some new evolution. Are you ready for it? And are you ready for some listener email?
Yes. Well, I do have some listener email. Well, actually, these are not emails. These are from our Facebook page, where more and more people tend to comment there, and both methods are valid. But here are a few. Rachel writes in and says, "Hey, guys, I'm halfway through your podcast, You're So Vain, Earthlings." So she had to stop halfway through to contact us. I like that. "And one of you brought up the theory that we may be living in a Matrix-type world. Isn't it the case that if at every point of our lives we are dreaming, then the word dream becomes synonymous with reality, and we are simply playing a semantic game? For a dream to be a dream, we have to eventually become aware that it is a synthetic reality. So if we live inside a giant illusion, say the Matrix, that we never wake up from, isn't the Matrix just plain old reality?"
The question is, the red one or the blue one? Which one do you want?
I forget which one he took. It's been a while.
I know, I was thinking about that too, yeah.
But no, these are valid questions.
No, it's really interesting.
Yeah. And I like the idea that someone would, yeah, because part of what we do with these episodes, I feel like, is we're stirring the imagination through science, through ponderings about
We're trying.
I think we're doing it.
Right.
It's stirring my mind and stirring these listeners' minds. We also heard from Thomas. Thomas writes in to say, "I just listened to the Day of the Dolphin podcast. Not one mention of Douglas Adams' The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Not one! !" All caps. By the way, I love the podcast, and it is awesome. I'm 15, and I live in Texas, and I listen all the time."
Sweet.
Yeah. Though we did, yeah, we kind of missed the boat on making a Hitchhiker's Guide reference.
I love that we have younger listeners, too, and they always have really interesting insights and good critiques.
Yeah.
Such as that.
My main experience with 15-year-olds is through the ones that are our listeners, and it makes me think that all 15-year-olds are pretty smart.
And pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We also heard from Edmundo, and Edmundo writes in to say, "Just listened to the Math Invention or Discovery podcast, and I was sort of surprised you didn't cover what Dan Everett had to say about the Piraha and the apparent difficulty in teaching them how to do basic mathematical equations. Their language only has two numbers, 1 and 2. But even that is in dispute, as there is a strong argument that they just indicate a, quote, small amount versus a, quote, bigger amount. Is this indicative of mathematics being a human construct, or that the Piraha language socialization restricts innate mathematical capabilities to such a degree that reacquiring such a capabilities is extremely difficult?"
That's an interesting question,
yeah.
Particularly since we're looking at it through the lens of our language.
Yeah.
And our system of calculations. So you have to wonder for that culture, is it a problem at all? Do you know what I'm saying? If that's their reference material. Yeah, I don't know. There's something there that we need to scratch at, I think.
It's an interesting way of looking at the world around you, though, that everything is perhaps either a small amount or a bigger amount. It's kind of like only viewing films as Coen Brothers films and other films.
Makes things a little simpler,
it
I suppose.
Does. Yeah.
And we know that makes happiness when things are simpler.
Right.
That's one of the reports out there. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, let me make it simple to our listeners. If you want to touch base with us about virtually any topic that we've covered or might cover in the future, or just some cool science that happens to be popping around your headspace, then drop in at Facebook or Twitter. We are Blow the Mind on both of those.
And you can always drop us an email at blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.